Let's get into the word. We're going to Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and verse 2. And this is what it says. Follow along with me. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus, which was on the coast, where he found several believers. Everybody say believers. All right, they were believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Let me give you just a little bit of a backdrop to this. Now, what has happened is Paul has now come and visiting the different churches, works that have already started because people have come to know the Lord. They have been baptized. They are believers in the Lord. Now, when he comes to the church at Ephesus. I want you to understand that the church of Ephesus was started by a man called Apollos. Apollos was a very learned man. In fact, he was supposed to be very eloquent, more eloquent than everybody else, all the other apostles. He was really good, and it says that he could teach about Jesus accurately. He understood the word of God. He was a great teacher, but he taught on Jesus accurately. So he had a congregation of believers, people who came to know the Lord, people who are already baptized. Come on. Everybody following with me? Amen? So you understand this part. At another time, in Acts chapter 8, verses 12, right to verse 17, what happens is Philip the evangelist goes to Samaria. And you know Jews and Samaritans didn't have much dealings with each other. But anyway, he goes there. He preaches the word of God. It's so powerful. Lots of miracles take place. And people, by the multitudes, begin to believe in it until all of Samaria is affected. And when you read Acts chapter 8, what happens is they all get baptized. They all begin to follow after Peter, after Philip, because they have now believed in the gospel that Philip has been preaching, and they are all baptized believers. But then they say, okay, now Peter and John come to visit them and praise for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. What am I trying to get at? What I'm saying is this, because there are many people who begin to say, once you receive Jesus as your Savior, you already have the Holy Spirit. You don't need a second blessing, because the Pentecostals, Charismatics always talk about the second blessing, that there is more than just to have Jesus as your personal Savior. God has got greater things in store for you, and this is called the promise of the Father. And then they quote John's Gospel, chapter 22. Verses 22, where Jesus comes into the room and then he breathes on his disciples and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Then he says in Luke chapter 24, where he says, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. So they receive the Spirit, breathe, receive the Spirit. And then he says, now don't go anywhere until you are endued with power by the Holy Spirit. So there is a second blessing. Everybody following with me? When Jesus rose from the dead, he had accomplished salvation. And when he accomplished salvation, all could now be born again by the Spirit of God. Everybody okay? Following with me? But being born again, being believers, being baptized is one thing, but to have the Holy Spirit is something else. So what happens is when Paul came into the city of Ephesus, he watched the believers and he said, I've been watching you guys. You're all believers. It's wonderful that you are all believers. You've all received the Holy Spirit in that sense. But have you received the Holy Spirit? Now, the Holy Spirit is very misunderstood. He's one of the most misunderstood persons. People call him an it. Have you received it? Have you received his presence? Have you received, you know, the hovering of the Spirit? Let me explain a little bit about the Holy Spirit. When he is introduced for the first time, it's in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and empty. and darkness was upon the face of the entire earth. And then it says, the Spirit of God now is introduced. And the Spirit of God hovered over the entire world. And when people look at that, they feel like some kind of presence is going, you know, across the world, some kind like a cloud, like smoke going all over it. But the word to hover over the entire world is like a mother hen that hovers over its chicks. It is, he begins to embrace our planet, holds it close like a mother holds a baby, holds it very close to his bosom. And once he does that, then the word of God begins to come forth. Let there be light, and everything begins to start being formed. So the Holy Spirit is a person, and we need to understand him as the person. Now remember, all these people in the word of God, they were already believers. They had received Jesus as their Savior. They had been baptized, but yet the question was, have you received this Holy Spirit? Because something happens when the Holy Spirit, the person called the Holy Spirit, comes into our lives. So we need to understand who this Holy Spirit is. I'd like to suggest a few things to us. But as we go into the scripture, you know, and when he comes in, there must be clear evidence. There must be clear signs. For example, in Acts chapter 15, verse 8, God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he had given to us. Something happened to the lives of the disciples. And now, of course, we are not talking about speaking in tongues. The question is not, have you received tongues? Have you received power? The question is, have I received the person called the Holy Spirit? Do I know what he is doing, what he is supposed to be doing? Will I cooperate with him? I'd like to suggest a few things, all right? Now, understand that he is the third person. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Number one, he is the advocate. The Holy Spirit, first of all, is called the advocate. You can find this in John's Gospel 15:26, when the advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father. Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me. John 16:7. Verily I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Chapter 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Listen to verse 26. When the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Advocate. Sometimes you see over the offices of those who practice law, you will have advocate and solicitors. A lawyer is someone, if I understand correctly, who has gone through law school, passed law, but they can be working in businesses, they can be doing other things, but they are qualified to give you some kind of legal advice. A solicitor works from the office. They are the ones who will write contracts for you, give you advice, give you different things, but they do not represent you in a court of law. The advocate, now some of you are lawyers here, you correct me later or not now, is one whom we call an attorney or an advocate who will represent you in a courtroom situation or represent your business, whatever it may be. He's qualified to do that. All of them in the legal profession. But the biggest mistake we have made all along is to somehow think that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. But he is not. We have an advocate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our lawyer. He is the one who represents us in the courtroom of God, where God sits as the judge. But the Holy Spirit, when he comes, Jesus said, He will represent me. He will speak about me. I am his client. He will talk to you, tell you things that you need to understand about me. And so we often think that the Holy Spirit has come to do something just for us. Yes, he does. He works inside of us, helps us to pray, does different things for us, true. But one of the main things is he comes to represent Jesus. He comes to reveal Jesus. So the question I have for all of us is, have we received the Holy Spirit? Is Jesus becoming more real to us? Is he becoming more lovely? Is he becoming more wonderful? If I were to ask you personally, in all sincerity, who is Jesus to you? What are you going to say? Are you going to stop at, he is my Savior. He is my healer. He is my baptizer. He is my helper. I prayed and he answered. Will you refer to him as something done in the past? Or will you say something you know about him today? You know, David was a person who lived, as we said, in the New Covenant. When he was asked about God, he said so many things. Most of the songs that we get today are taken out of David's experience with the Lord. So the question I have to ask myself, now this is something, like I said to you, I'm reading through the book of Acts. I had to stop there for a while. Is the Holy Spirit really the Holy Spirit as revealed in the book of Acts, is this the same Holy Spirit that I have received? Because if I have received, yesterday morning talking to all the, those who came for prayer, but also to our staff members, I said there must be evidence. You see, what happens is, he said, God showed that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit. So God, if you have given me the Holy Spirit, then I must know you a little better today than I did yesterday. The desire in my heart will always be, show me more of you. No wonder Paul kept crying out. He said he was full of the Holy Spirit. Jonathan yesterday spoke about, I speak in tongues more than you all. The whole purpose was that I may know him. The drive of the Holy Spirit will always be Jesus. Who is he? That's why I shared with you the other time, the Jesus that we don't really know from the book of Revelation. How did it happen? He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and then I saw. And he reveals Jesus, and he falls at the feet of Jesus, and he worships Jesus. My friend, the question we must keep asking ourselves, Lord, if you have really given me the Holy Spirit, I must know you a little better today than I did yesterday. Can I hear an amen? Are you all very quiet? But here are questions that we need to ask ourselves. Very serious questions. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Have I received the Holy Spirit? Is Jesus more dear to me today than he has ever been before? That's the question. He is also the liberator. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Spirit, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, come on, liberty, emancipation from bondage, true freedom. Let me say this again. Deliverance is not freedom. The children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, but that did not mean that they had true freedom. Taken away from a taskmaster is not really freedom. It is learning to function in the responsibility that freedom brings, which gives us freedom. Gaining our independence is not freedom. is just given the responsibility on how to live as freed people. Come on, amen. So Jesus says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's the purpose. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind. And I like this one, which is in the original, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Set at liberty those that are bruised. We've got a couple of doctors, a few doctors in the house. When a person is bruised, do you bring them into your clinic and say, you are now free? Or do you attend to the bruises? When a person is bruised, you don't need somebody to come and say, I now set you free. To preach liberty to those that are bruised. He's talking about an inner hurt that causes you to be so bound because of your hurts and your unforgiveness and what you carry on the inside. You have been hurt before. Sharp words, things that people did, betrayal. When we face all these things, it is very easy for us to carry these hurts on the inside. No wonder the scripture uses terms like casting all your cares upon him. And the thing about our hurts is we have this habit of rehearsing our hurts at night. Go, why, huh? Yeah, I don't understand. Why, huh? And then on top of that, we nurse our hurts. We watch over our hurts by night like the shepherds watched over their flock by night. Watch over it. And then we feed it. Add some more. And we often tell others, hoping that they will add to our hurts. Very often when we ask people to come to the altar, they come with their burdens. They put it down, and when they walk back, you notice they have an invisible string attached to it. And when they walk out, they pull the same problems out with them. And the moment they get out of the door, you ask them, how are you? You like that, lah. What to do? Like that, oh. And they start talking about it again and again. So the problems have never been cast. You know, this is a very interesting term. The word to cast is actually to get rid of forcefully. Not to place it. Don't place your burdens before the Lord. Cast it. It's a dangerous thing to hold these things on the inside. That's why God said to Moses, cast your rod before me at the burning bush. What is that in your hand? A rod. Cast it before me. You want me to throw my rod? I didn't say put it down, Moses. I want you to throw it down. And the moment he threw it and it hit the ground, it became a snake. You do not know what's hidden inside of the rod until you cast it before God. You do not know the kind of serpent inside the burdens that you carry. God wants you to be free of it completely. Can I hear an amen? He is the liberator. So the question I ask myself again is, have I been literally freed of these things? Because I notice that there are quite a few things that I've not really been liberated from. If I really heal your heart, David, if I really liberate your heart, then you wouldn't have these things still inside of you. Because occasionally, it comes back. And when it comes back, here's the thing. How many of you have had wounds with a scab on it? If you had a wound with a scab on it, what do you do with it? Correct. Why? Huh? Yeah. Amen. To itch is human. To scratch is divine. Huh? Oh man, we enjoyed. Oh, the scab is there. We know it is the perfect bandage. Doctors are still trying to find out how to make this kind of a bandage because it protects your wound so well. It is absolutely perfect. It covers your wound. But what do we do with it? We pick. And then finally, come on, ayah, blood again, ayah. Right? We have a habit of doing that. And so I do that. And that's why I'm preaching this message. This message is not just for you alone. It had to get inside of me. Because I like to pick. Every now and again, you know, I think about it. And then, oh man, I pick on it. And then, oh man, it hurts. I've got to start all over the healing process again. Number three, the Holy Spirit is a transformer. And I don't mean like what you see on the movies. That kind of transformer. He changes. See, man was formed, then he became deformed, and now God wants to transform us. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you. Say powerfully. And you will prophesy with them. You will be changed to a different person. There's no way that you can say, I've received the Holy Spirit. That's why the question, have you received the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will be different. Our family members, your spouse will know that you are different. You cannot be the same person when the Holy Spirit comes. And that is why people find fault with Christians. Because the Christians advertise how Christians ought to be, how good they are, how they don't tell lies, how they do this, and everything about the advertisement is so nice. But the reality is, now you guys, I've not done this, because I don't know how to do it. I thank God. I've never learned the art of ordering online. You see, it is so big, it's so nice, and then you order it, a small little thing came. I will not tell you that my wife does this, so she took away an old towel rack from my bathroom. Old towel rack. It was creaky, it was very, very old. I mean, it was old. When we first got married, the guy built it for us, literally got sticks and made one for us when we got married. That is 48 years ago. I still kept it. A rickety old thing. But she decided she wanted to get a rack which was, you know, easily fixed. It was like a ladder where you can hang things easily. So she ordered it. Later on, she told me she actually thought it was big, but it was so small. I couldn't even hang my towel because it would go to the ground. Even my belt reached the ground. I don't know what she could hang there. And it occupies such a small space in my bathroom. And I'm thinking, where must I hang my towel? So now I just, after bathing, just put my towel around me and walk around the house hoping. What you advertise and what you get. So we advertise, this is what a Christian ought to be. And people say, you guys are hypocrites. I don't blame them. Because if we do have the Holy Spirit, our lives will be transformed. No doubt about it. I went into that little room in our church in Penang, First Assembly of God. Small little prayer room. I went in as a drug addict. I walked out of that room at 2 a.m. in the morning, completely transformed because I received the Holy Spirit. It is true that when the Spirit comes upon you, you shall be transformed into another person. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. The old has passed. All things have become new. Come on, amen. Your appetites begin to change concerning the world. Things that seem to be okay before are now not right anymore. You say something that is wrong, you know you're not supposed to say it. Immediately you feel a conviction that proves that the Holy Spirit is with you. As long as you have pain, you are safe. When there is no pain, it's time to worry. Praise God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, 19. I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers. It is the same wonderful power He used when He raised Christ from the dead. This is also found in Romans. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. When He raised Christ from the dead and let Him sit at the right side of heaven. Something powerful happened. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells inside of us. How can we remain the same? He's a transformer. Amen. Takes sinners and makes them saints, the unholy holy, the diseased become whole. So the question is, have I received the Holy Spirit? Number four, He is the song giver. Amen. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eat food and drink, what we eat, what we drink, or of living a life of goodness, of peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Do we go through hard times? Of course. God makes His sun rise on the good and on the bad. The rain falls on the good and on the bad. Be perfect as God is perfect. So God is no respecter of persons. Everybody faces the storm. It comes on the house that is built on the sand. It comes on the house that's built on the rock. Storms come to everyone. Come on. But how we respond to it is so important. In Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, Jesus has just served communion. This is my body, it's going to be broken for you. This is my blood, it's going to be shed for you. In a few moments, they would go up to Gethsemane, where He would pray and intercede and sweat drops of blood. And in the shadow of this, and then finally the cross, in the shadow of what was going to take place, it says Jesus sang a hymn. In the shadow of the cross, Jesus sings a hymn. One of the signs that that you have the Holy Spirit is you have a song, not just sighs. Come on, amen. There's a song inside of us. Beaten badly, it says severely flogged, thrown into the deepest dungeon and chained. And Paul and Silas sing at midnight till all the prisoners listen to them. How is it possible for a person to be so severely beaten, thrown into the deepest dungeon, which actually gave way for, it was the main sewage system that flowed right through it. How could they sing in the midst of all of this? The answer is, they had the Holy Spirit. I listened to Harlan Popov in his writing on being persecuted for Christ and how they take them, you know, in Europe, how they took him and a lot of the other believers and let them sit, strip them naked, let them sit on ice. And they said, in that midst of sitting on ice, just on ice itself, shivering in pain and cold, they said they raised their voices up to God. And he was speaking this at a church in the United States. And he says, I wish I could have that same experience now. He says, because now when we come into churches, we don't have the same kind of presence of the Holy Spirit. In the midst of all that pain, a song burst out in their hearts. God desires to put a song in your heart. Too much of sighing. Too much of Let Him take that away, because when the Holy Spirit comes, it says the first thing is sing. Let the song arise in your hearts. Amen. Listen to this about David. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1, verse 2. These are the last words of David, the inspired utterance of David, the son of Jesse, the utterance of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, the hero of Israel's songs. What did he say? The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. It was the Spirit of God. We get so much of inspiration. In fact, our whole Bible studies is basically a study of David and his faith. But where did David get all of this? The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. I have a song in my heart. Every time when he went through calamity, he went through pain, he went through so much of suffering in the wilderness, being hunted like a dog. And in all of that, he comes up with all these psalms that we sing. Even when he sinned against God so terribly and the prophet came to him, first thing he did was write a song. Write a song unto the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord wants to put a song inside your heart. Remove your sadness. Amen. So the question again, have I received this Holy Spirit? Or have I just received tongues, falling, whatever it may be? Or have I received the Holy Spirit? Last of all, let everybody say, Amen. The Spirit of the Lord, he is the purpose giver. We read that scripture just now. Because he has anointed me to do something. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall be endued with power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall sing, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Let the weak say, I am strong. Is that what you're supposed to be doing? No, he said, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Just be witnesses. We make a big mistake. We read it differently. We say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You shall be anointed, preach the gospel, to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the world. That's not what he says. He says, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and which simply means just be witnesses. Wherever you go, just be witnesses. Amen. Listen to what I read this yesterday to our staff. Listen to what Rick Warren says. He says, the church at its birth was the church at its best. The fastest period of growth of Christianity was the first 330 years between 33 AD and 360 AD. The church grew 50% a decade, every decade for 35 decades. Every 10 years, the church multiplied by 50%. There were no planes, trains, cars. They didn't have the printing press, no radio, no TV, no phones, no internet, no church buildings, and guess what? No Bibles. In 360 AD, the church grew from 120 in an upper room to 30 million out of 60 million in the entire Roman Empire. Then he begins to say, how did they do this? And he answered, they simply gossiped the gospel. Wherever they went, on Tuesday we leave for Africa, to Kenya. And the Africans tell us how they spread it. It's widespread. The gospel is widespread. This is what they do. Many of the ladies go to the market two by two. And then they stand at the market, and while they are buying vegetables, they talk to each other. You know what happened in church last Sunday? And they talk about how wonderful church service was. No sermon, just gossiping about what happened in the church. And I'm not talking about, did you see that brother's dress, that sister's dress? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how wonderful the service was, how good it was. They began to just talk to each other, gossip about Jesus. And very soon the person who's selling says, can I come to that church? And that's how they keep reaching out to people, just gossiping about Jesus. Acts chapter 9. Paul meets Saul, later becomes Paul, meets Jesus for the first time. Bright light begins to shine. This man who was a murderer of Christians, letters to arrest them and put them all in prison, suddenly there's this bright light that knocks him off his horse as he's going to Damascus to arrest even more Christians. Zealot. He falls to the ground. So trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what will you want me to do? And the Lord said, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Last Sunday, we had a fantastic message. Pastor Joanna gave us a very, very good message, blessed us. Jesus asked the man, what do you want me to do? Unfortunately, we think that that is the entire ministry of Jesus. What can you do for me? Okay? Instead of meeting him and saying, Lord, how many of us have actually asked this question? Lord, what do you want me to do? We are always asking him to do something. It's like he exists for me. And yet the book of Revelation says, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. God has not been there for my pleasure. I am created for his pleasure. So the Holy Spirit, the first thing that happened was, I want you to go into the city, and there you will be told what you must do. That, ladies and gentlemen, is why you are in the city right now being told what you must do. Amen? That you shall now become a light to the Gentiles. That you will begin to minister where God wants you to minister. That you will begin to tell people about Jesus Christ before it's too late. So that your life will not be filled with regrets when the day comes. And you stand before him and he says, you had the opportunity to share Jesus with someone. Why didn't you? The Holy Spirit empowers us. Come on, amen. He gives us a purpose in life. And it is more than just to make a quick buck. It is to be a witness for Jesus. Not to be a lawyer, not to be an attorney for him, but just to witness of the good things God has done for you. You have experienced his goodness. We sing about the goodness of God. Come on. I even went to the trouble of taking about 6 months to learn just the chorus of the goodness of God in Swahili. Sing, sing, no. Just to learn the chorus in Swahili. Because it is the goodness of God that follows us all the days of our life. Come on, amen. Can I not share his goodness with others as well? So I like to close the service by asking you this very, very important question. In all reality, can I say that I have received the Holy Spirit? Because if I have, I would really want to know Jesus more. He would be talking to me about Jesus. Come on. I would be totally transformed. My life would be changed. But I'm not being changed. I want to be changed, Lord, even more and more. All right, I still got all these hang-ups inside of me. God, I must be liberated. I must have a song inside of my heart. God, I must be living with a purpose. May God help us all. Amen. Stand with me as we close in prayer.